the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. In today's gospel, you get a chance to look into the heart of the Lord to see what are the things that cause Christ to rejoice. If we look at this passage in its context, the disciples had just come back from a mission. It was their first mission. And they were so excited, and they came back telling the Lord, even demons were cast out in your name. And then Christ says, I saw the devil fall like lightning from heaven. And he says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Christ rejoiced because the disciples had experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in them. He was excited. This was the first time that they had experienced the Holy Spirit using them for God's glory. And he says, I don't want you just to rejoice in the fact that you cast out demons. That's not even for your benefit. Whoever you cast out the demons for, or you healed, that person is the one that should be rejoicing, not you. But you should rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And it says Christ rejoiced. These disciples had gone on a mission, which for them was a challenge. He's sending them out to go head on with people that are possessed with demons. And this was the first time they were going to have to use or exercise power that Christ had given them through the Holy Spirit. And they went in obedience. Christ desires that each and every one of His people would enter into the experience of God. These days I'm reading the book of Exodus. You see how much God desired that the people would depend on God and that they would experience that God is the provider of everything. First, they cross the Red Sea, they're happy. Then they get hungry and they start complaining. God sends them manna and quail from heaven. He's leading them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they get to the next place, and they begin to be thirsty. And they say, is God among us or not? Mind you, a pillar of fire is leading 2 million people in the evening, and a cloud is guiding the rest of them throughout the day. And they're saying, is God among us or not? And God allowed them to be thirsty, and He didn't give them this water just right away. He didn't allow a stream just to be wherever they stopped. But He allowed that there would be nothing so that the people would count on the fact that they can experience that God is the one that provides. God is, all in all, God is the one that gives everything. Christ rejoiced that the Father had revealed these mysteries to babes, and He had hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Who were the wise and the prudent? They were the Pharisees and the scribes and the experts of the law, the people who knew everything about what they needed to do to be good people. And Christ rejoiced that God was revealed to the babes. He was revealed to those that were innocent, those that were humble. First, they obeyed by going outside of their comfort zone, doing the mission that Christ had asked them to do, doing things that they never thought they could do. And then, God revealed Himself through this challenge. God sometimes puts us in challenges that He would reveal Himself to us. God rejoices in the fact that when we experience God and we taste Him and He's revealed to us, it is then at that point that we can obey the commandments of love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. You see, the lawyer came to Him, testing Him, almost mocking Him and thinking, this man doesn't know the law. He says, what do I need to do to inherit life? Christ says, well, what does the law say? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Christ says, if you can do it, let me know how it goes. You do this and you're going to live. How can one love the Lord his God with all his heart, all his mind, all his strength, unless God has revealed himself to him in a mighty way? I think sometimes we read the Bible like it's just a cartoon. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Okay. God, Moses climbed the mountain and met God. Okay. It's just a cartoon. It's no big deal. We need to take the Bible and read the Word of God in humility, that God would reveal himself in the true form that he is. So in the Old Testament, we see God asking the people that before they meet God, they have to prepare themselves and cleanse themselves and wash their clothes and change everything about them, because they are going to meet the Holy God. Because God is going to reveal himself to his people. So many of the believers today, they can't see God. Yeah, we come to church and we do what we're supposed to do. And we know that God is working. But see God face to face, or experience God's revelation to us, which we pray in the third hour. We pray for the spirit of revelation, the spirit of prophecy, chastity, holiness, justice, and authority. We pray that God would reveal himself to us. How many people in these pews feel like God has been revealed to you? Moses could just go up to the mountain of God and meet God, because he was ready to meet God in his holiness. When God is revealed to you in his true character, when God can reveal the mystery of his nature to you, at that point you'll be so convinced that he is worthy of loving him with all of your heart, all of your mind. The problem is we have divided hearts. We love so many other things. We love ourselves. We love the world. We love money. We love the opinions of others. Because we don't know, God has not been revealed to us in all of his holiness. And I think this is why Christ rejoiced. Because now, when the disciples have experienced God, then they'll be able to obey the law of loving the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength, and all their minds. It's a hard thing to do. He's saying, if you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, do it. I think at that point the lawyer realized that this isn't an easy thing to do. You can't just love the Lord your God with all your heart unless you see something in God that makes him above the rest of everything else you've ever seen. That you value God more than you value yourself. That you value God more than the opinions of men. He's asking us to use our whole being, our whole efforts in loving him. It's not an easy thing unless we pursue. We pursue God, we obey him, that we would experience him, and when we experience him and see all his goodness and his holiness, at that point, when you see and God's been revealed to you, and I really mean be revealed to you, where your heart is overwhelmed by his presence. In the Old Testament, whenever God would come into their presence, it would be like fire and smoke, and it was this big, the earth would shake and quake. They knew the presence of God was something holy. And they would prepare themselves so that God would reveal himself to them. How many of us have prepared ourselves, washed our clothes, changed everything about us, that we would meet the Almighty God? I think we don't prepare ourselves because we don't know God and his true character. We don't know God as the Holy God. Akhadna Ali. Christ is the sweet Lord, that he's our friend, and he's a father, and he's a shepherd, which is nice. And we have to have that relationship, that intimate relationship. But at the same time, we have to know that he is the Holy God. And when he commands, we must obey. Well, you can't love your God with all your heart without loving your brother. It's extremely important that we would understand the importance of loving God by loving our neighbor. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. The first step in loving God is by saying how much you love the people around you. How much you love your neighbor, how much you love not just your wife and your children and your father and your mother, but your other parts of the body of Christ. How much do you love them? If I can see love in your heart for these people, then I can say you have love for God. But without it, without loving your neighbor as yourself, and actually, it's not love your neighbor as yourself. Because he says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friend. So it's not love your neighbor as yourself, it's love your neighbor more than yourself. That was the example that Christ set for us. We think love our neighbor as ourself is hard enough. But if we want to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with the greatest love, it's to lay your life down for your friend. It's to love God more than you love yourself, to love God and to love others more than you love yourself. My brothers and sisters, it is important that we pray and we desire and we long for the revelation of God. That God would reveal Himself to you in His true form, His true character. When Moses went up to the mountain, he saw God. When he came down, his face was shining. He had to cover his face with a veil. Because his face was so bright, it was clear this man had met God. Has God been revealed to you? Have you seen God? You will see Him. He will be revealed to you when you obey His word. Not hear His word, but take every part of it and obey it. Often when I open up the Bible and I read, sometimes I approach it in arrogance. I know what the next passage is. I know what the message is. And I don't let God reveal deeper things of Himself to me, because I come to Him with this pride. Like the scribes and the Pharisees, I know everything about the Lord or the law. But in order to understand the Bible, we must stand under the Bible, lift it above us. That even the words that He teaches us, though they may seem obvious, we need to put all of our efforts in obeying the Word of God. Even in the smallest verses, the most simplest of the verses, we need to obey. Approach God in humility and in innocence. Do we approach God in humility anymore? Or do we again go back to this Akhadna Ali? If you saw God and He's been revealed to you, you would be left to do nothing other than approach Him in humility, because you've seen His mighty, awesome, glorious, holy nature. When you see God, you'll know how to walk with Him. And you'll know how to fulfill the law of love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Let us pray. Let us pray, let us fast, let's get on our knees and say, Lord, I beg You, reveal Yourself to me. But it's going to take some cleansing. It's going to take some washing. It's going to take some transformation. We can't just meet Him like this. We're going to go meet the Almighty God. The Almighty God is going to reveal Himself to you. You have to prepare. You have to do some cleansing. This is what brings Christ joy. It says there is more joy over one sinner that repents than 99 righteous. The heavens are dancing and praising and jumping up and down when one sinner repents. This is what brings joy to the heart of God. Let's ask God that He would reveal Himself to us who are babes, us who are sinners and innocent, and those who are ignorant of His teachings. That we would go to meet Him and that He would reveal Himself in His true nature. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
Alleluia. Yeah. Yeah.